Well, good morning. Good morning. I just, before Cameron speaks, I just want to bring greetings from Impact Church in Kingston. They're excited that we get the honor and privilege to come here and visit you guys today. We miss Travis and Camilla, but we know that God has given them a great place here. And so we just want to bring greetings from Impact Church. You guys are always in our hearts and our prayers, and we love and appreciate you guys so much.
That's awesome. Some of you may remember, if you've been around a while, we actually came down 14 years ago, 13 and a half years ago, when your church was in its first year and helped out at one of your encounters. And so I see a few familiar faces, Pierre and a couple others. So it's a privilege to be back. Let's not wait 13 years to come back. It's a privilege to be here today. Love the spirit of worship. Bianca, great job with the team. That was awesome. Thank you for that. Well, I want to say just a great big thank you to Pastor Travis and Camilla for having us. We have known each other for almost 20 years. And so back in the day, Travis and I were thinner. I had more hair. He still has the same head of hair. That's really incredibly frustrating as a friend, but I'm good with that. How many have ever had a moment, maybe at your grandparents' house or maybe at an aunt or an uncle's house, where you remember something very specific about that place or about that house that you maybe years and years and years and years later have never forgotten? If that's you, put up your hand. Well, when I was a little guy, my dad's mom and stepdad, we called them Grandpa and Grandma D, and they had this incredible house, this little, tiny little bungalow right in the middle of some of the old areas of Oshawa. And in that area, just off to the side of the main area, the main family room, was this, what I call the original man cave. How many have a man cave? How many know what I'm talking about? But this did not involve a 50-inch plasma screen or anything along those lines or a surround sound. This was the tool shed. This man had tools everywhere. And one of the things that I used to remember getting into, of course, you know, some children when they're young, they get into things they shouldn't get into. But there was one thing that stood out to me from my grandfather's house that I always loved, I always wanted, was this great big giant winter coat that he used to hang up on this handmade hook that he used to make. It was huge. It was the one that he used to wear whenever he was going out into the backyard to fix stuff in the middle of winter. How many have ever seen guys out in the middle fixing roads, you know, construction guys in the middle of winter wearing these humongous jackets? Well, picture that. That's what it was like. The problem is sometimes the mischief of the moment overtook me, and I wanted to not only find this coat, but I wanted to actually get this coat down off of the hook. And so my brother and I were my brother was the accomplice and helped me. And one day, we were able to manage getting off of a step stool. We were able to manage to get this coat down. The problem is I was standing right below the coat. I was 4. I didn't handle the weight of the coat very well. Let me say, the coat came down and I went down with it. And so I could have almost crawled out of the sleeve. It was that big of a jacket. Do you know what I'm saying? I probably could fit into it fine now, but I absolutely loved that coat. I have news for you today. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're dealing with in life, not unlike me, God has a custom fit coat just for you. No one else can wear it. I couldn't wear my grandfather's. I could probably pull it off now, but I couldn't fit it. I couldn't wear it even if I tried. I couldn't carry the weight of what God had planned for my life when I was young, but I can do it now. God has a mantle. He has a specific call, a specific anointing, a specific gifting, a specific means for you to get to where God has a prophetic destiny for your life. Sometimes the thing that I honestly am convinced of that the enemy plays with our minds is that we try to compare ourselves one to another rather than just get really comfortable with what God's given us. You have a part to play that no one else can play. You can do things that no one else can do. right? I've learned that, and that's why I call Travis whenever I have things that need to be fixed. Because when I met Sandra, I literally said, honey, I just wanted to be up front. I don't want to, you know, lead you up the garden path. I don't want you to be tempted to think that I have all these gifts. So I just said, honey, I'm not handy. I can't do it. She says, but honey, can you at least handle the Allen keys from IKEA? I said, honey, Allen keys stress me out. It stressed me out. I can't do it. I can't do it. She says, what are you good at? I said, I can do puppets. All right? Right? And that was what won her over. She took one look at me and said, this guy can be like the next Sesame Street artist. That's the only... No, that's not really what won her over. As she says to many people, the only reason she married me was to get into the country. But, you know, I don't take that personally. I don't take that personally. I'm okay with that because I'm comfortable with what God's called me to do. I'm not tempted by things that she says or trying to put me down. I'm just joking. But I'm excited today because I honestly believe that you as individuals have a custom fit coat for you, a custom fit call. But I want to go one step further. This church has a custom fit call. Has a custom fit call. And if it's okay today, I want to talk about the story of Elijah and Elisha. I'm sure some of you have been around church a little bit of time. You've probably heard some of these things before. But I want to encourage you this morning because I honestly believe that this is the beginning, not just of a new year, but I believe this is a beginning of a greater call, a greater sense of purpose for this church. How many know that you're strategically placed? How many know that you have a unique call and that God wants to use you? Amen. Well, I believe that God is going to speak this morning and he's going to speak to you personally. In the Old Testament, the Bible often referred to this world called a mantle. And a mantle was really what was representative of someone's call, someone's gift, someone's really prophetic destiny. And I want to talk this morning using the significance of Elijah and Elisha's life as a point of reference this morning. And I have some verses I'm going to throw up on the screen for those that like to take notes or read along. We're going to start in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 16, and it says this, "And also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi," feel bad for that guy, "as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah." How many are glad that Trenton is much easier to say? Okay, just wanted to make sure. All right, good. Poor guy, he's from Abel-Meholah. "You shall anoint as prophet in your place." Goes on in verse 19 and it says this, "So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him." The Message Bible literally says he threw his cloak on him. I don't know about you, if you forgot your winter jacket this morning, you want to make sure someone throws their winter coat on you before you leave this morning. Right? It's not very nice out there. But the word mantle literally comes from the Hebrew word adareth or adareth, and it literally means glory, splendor, magnificence, extraordinary. How many are believing God for this year that God's going to put a little bit more of his extra on your ordinary? Okay, all three of you. How many believe that God wants to put a little bit more of his extra on your ordinary? Just so you know, I like conversing back and forth, so we can chat a little bit more. That's good, all right? But it literally comes from this idea of God placing something supernatural on you. You have a gift, you have a call, you have a destiny that is on your life. It involves your life. It involves those that you have influence with. How many know that you have influence with people that I will never meet in my life? But I also have influence in my life with people that you'll never meet. And that's okay. Because God has called you to do something incredible, not only this year, but for the rest of your life. So what was the mantle symbolic of? Well, for those that have been around church a little length of time, you may have heard some of this stuff. But I just want to go through it just to set a framework for what we're going to talk about the rest this morning. Is that okay? So the mantle literally was symbolic of the power resident in the prophet or the man or woman of God by the Holy Spirit. We're actually doing something right now in our church, and our associate pastor, who's literally preaching on this morning, and she's talking about change and transformation by the Holy Spirit. The work of change and transformation that is always resident in the person of the Holy Spirit? How many believing for change and transformation this year? How many wish your spouse would change? Okay, don't put up your hands. That's not the time to put up your hands when there's... I'm going to preach to this side of the room. All right. Oh, boy. Lord Jesus. Doesn't it say women should be... Oh, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Joking. I'm back on the couch. Oh, jeepers. All right. So the mantle was symbolic of the power resident, but it was also symbolic of the authority and the anointing and the power of God. And if I can say this, the ministry grace. How many know that you're graced for certain things? How many know, like me not being very handy, that you're not graced for certain things? Right? Half the battle in understanding your prophetic destiny for your life is understanding what you're not and getting really comfortable with that. That was a good point. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for your underwhelming response. All right. Moving right along. It also represents or is symbolic of the sacrifice of what is necessary to carry the mantle. When I was four, I didn't have the sacrificial process in place to be able to carry the weight of the mantle for my grandfather. Thank the Lord I can now, but I couldn't then. So sometimes what God does is he prepares you and he challenges you and he shapes your life situations and circumstances to prepare you for the moment that you can not only touch the mantle, but you can wear the mantle for the rest of your life. Some people get frustrated in the process of God. How many are out there? How many know that God loves process? I don't understand that. I've tried to convince him of something other than that, but he doesn't listen to me. He just has never responded to my advice on the process of God. I'm like, God, you know, I understand that Moses took 40 years on the backside of the desert, and I understand that, you know, Joseph was in the pit for a while, and then he was in prison, and I understand that Jesus took 30 years, but Lord, I'm special. And, you know, special people deserve fast food, drive-through kind of prophetic mantles. That we can just drive up to the window and say, Lord, I need it. They give you the French fries of the Holy Ghost, and away you go. And you just move on with God. But unfortunately, that doesn't work in God's economy. I wish it did. I wish it did, but it doesn't. So let's carry on with our story. Verse 19. I'm going to read this very quick again, and then we're going to jump down to 20. It says, so he departed from there, found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which, interesting enough, means to judge or to rule, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. On the 12th day of Christmas, Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. He ran after him and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. I want to talk today about five things about the mantle in relation to your life that I believe will bless you, encourage you, and actually propel you into what God is going to do in your life this year. Do you believe that? Amen. First thing is this. The mantle is always for the unlikely. How many have ever felt insignificant? Join the club. How many have ever felt like God forgot about you someday? Uh-huh. How many ever felt like you missed your opportunity? How many ever felt like, well, that was for then, but it's not for now because my life circumstances don't allow me to do what I feel God's called me to do? Lies, 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 and lies. Every last one of them. The enemy tries to rob you of the very thing that God wants to put into you by convincing you that you are unworthy of it, that you don't deserve it, that the time is not right, that you haven't prepared enough, that you're only 4 years old in the spirit, so you can't carry the weight of it. How many know that God can get you ready? All you have to do is say yes. How many know that when you say yes to something, you have to say no to something else? If not, you have a lot of things going on in your life, right? The mantle is for the unlikely. I'm going to go on in 1 Corinthians, actually, chapter 1, verses 26 to 29. I love this passage. It says this, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the unlikely, the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world. Yes, Jesus, was that you? Hello? Oh, sorry. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh, no person should glory in his presence. It's interesting that I love finding out all of the names and all of the thoughts and all of the places and all the meanings of everything that's in the Bible. Because how many know that names and places and thoughts have significance scripturally, right? So Elisha literally means God is Savior. God saves me. That's what it means. How many know that when you've been saved from much, you have the ability to minister much? Some of us have this mindset, well, you don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand what I go through. You don't understand what I did. And I look at them and I said, have you not read the Bible? Yes, we like to quote that it's, you know, basic instructions before leaving earth. Bible. That makes sense, right? No, it's a story of redemption. From cover to cover, it is the story of redemption of mankind. Listen, no matter where you're at in your life right now, you said you've been in a bad place for the last while. God wants you to know today, it's time to pick up your mantle again. Because it's for you. It's for the unlikely. Amen? Elisha was from the tribe of Issachar. How many have ever heard of that one? You Bible scholars, you. The reality is we've heard of Judah, we've heard of Benjamin, we've heard of other tribes. But I don't know about you, but Issachar doesn't just, it's not the first thing you think of. Oh, you know, the 12 tribes of Judah. Oh, Issachar, it's like top 10. It's awesome. How many have ever heard of Abel Mahola, his hometown? I have never heard of Abel Mahola in my life until I read this story. There's Jerusalem, there's Bethel, there's, you know, Jericho, there's all these big names of all these, you know, big places. And I keep thinking to myself, what in the world is Abel Mahola? God calls the unlikely. If someone moves to Canada, you know, the first place they think of to move to right away is Trenton. Right? Like Trenton, Ontario. That's like the hotbed of life. Don't worry, I'm from Oshawa. The schwa, it's called the schwa for a reason, and it's not good. Okay, just wanted to let you know. Now we're in Kingston. You know, we like to say it's the Kingstown. Makes us feel kind of spiritual. Really, it's got 7 prisons. All right, so there's nothing special about Trenton, and there's nothing special about Kingston, or definitely nothing special about the schwa. Definitely nothing. What do I have to say today? It doesn't matter where you are. God will use you because he loves the unlikely. All through the Bible, God uses the unlikely. And he uses them in sometimes the most unlikely places. The second thing is this. Not only does the mantle find the unlikely, the mantle finds people in the field of obscurity. 1 Kings 19, verse 19 again. So he departed from there, found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing his fields with oxen. He found him in the middle of nowhere, in Abel Mahola, plowing on one of the 1.8 million fields that were being plowed that day. Plowing. What's interesting here, though, is Elijah found him. Can I relax you guys for a second this morning? Is that okay? You don't have to find God. He can find you. He knows your address. He knows where you live. He knows what team you cheered for last night as they lost. It's okay because I'm still part of that team too. And I have not buried my Leaf jersey yet. But I'm getting tempted. I'm getting tempted. But it's all good. The mantle finds people in the field of obscurity. How many have ever felt like, well, I'm not doing anything right now. I'm not on stage, or I'm not preaching, or I'm not teaching. I'm not leading in our group, therefore I'm not that important. And you think to yourself, well, I guess my time will just have to come. Come when? Come when? So when's the perfect time? Does God have a perfect time? Well, yeah, you can say, you could argue God has a timing. Yeah, absolutely. But I honestly believe that God's timing was now. We just had to answer it. God was already ringing. He was ringing earlier, right? Hello, Jesus. Is that you? Right? The time is now. The mantle finds people in the field of obscurity. The mantle sought him. He didn't seek it. And it doesn't matter what the person sitting next to you is doing. It's irrelevant. God wants to find you. We actually did a series in December on hearing the voice of God. And, you know, one of the biggest questions that you keep getting from people is, what happens if I miss it? And I don't hear what he's saying. I said, it's okay. God knows where you live. They're like, oh yeah. Whoa. Yeah, he does. That's right. It's amazing how God knows where you are. So if you are in the back 40 in Abel Mahola, plowing with your oxen, sounds like a great job, he will find you. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Oh, I love that. Why does he find you? Because you have a custom fit mantle just for you. Never let it go when it comes. Never let it out of your sight. Carry it with you everywhere. Amen? Goes on to verse 21, and it says, so Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen, slaughtered them and boiled their flesh, and using the oxen's experiment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. It's amazing how God set this man up for something that he never thought of that day. The reality is God is the God of the suddenlies, and God is the God of doing things in one moment. You look through all of the scripture and you keep finding person after person after person that had a divine encounter with Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit or God himself, the Father, and it wrecked them forever. God is looking for people who are in the field of obscurity. But there's the third thing, which I think is equally as important, equally connected, and it's this. The mantle falls on those who have been preparing deeply. I don't know your name, but I love the testimony about the war room. Saw that movie a couple weeks ago. Love that movie. What are you doing in your prayer closet? What are you doing at home when no one's watching? How are you serving? How are you helping? How are you loving? How are you evangelizing? How are you connecting with people? Are you being preparing deeply? Psalm 78, verse 70, it says this, he also chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. David came from the sheepfolds. Elisha came from plowing. Mark 1, 16 to 18, it says, and as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Immediately left their nets and followed him. God will find you anywhere. Elisha was a plowman. David was a shepherd. Peter and John were fishermen. Paul was a tent maker, and Jesus was a carpenter. But what's interesting is in all of those five scenarios that I just said, God got somebody from the middle of their full-time job and put them into full-time ministry. Now, to mess with the paradigm of the last 40 years, are you ready for this? You're all called to full-time ministry. So whether you're paid for it, titled it, or anything else, a title is irrelevant, paying for it is irrelevant, you're all called to full-time ministry. But the problem is too many of us are distracted by our full-time life that we don't do full-time ministry. Right? How many here this morning? Thank you for your underwhelming response. All right, that's good. God has something special for you today, but we have to capture it. We have to grab it. We can't let go because there's a custom fit call for you this morning. The mantle seeks out those who have a disciplined life, who are faithful, who have the heart of a servant, and who love and live like Jesus. It also seeks out those that can carry the weight of it. How many know with greater weight comes greater responsibility? How many know with greater responsibility comes a greater opportunity for offense? Of course, there's no one in here that's ever been offended, so I'll just keep moving on. That's good. Awesome. Oh, what a glorious, godly place you have. That's so awesome. Travis, you're doing such a great work, my friend. You should come to Kingston. Talk to my people about offense. No, I'm just joking. We have a great church in Kingston. There, it's awesome. The fourth thing is this. The mantle must be seized without hesitation. When we look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21, and we can just throw it up on the screen. I'll just reference it. He literally captures the mantle. He looks at Elijah, and the first thing he does is, number one, follows him, but then I love what he does here. He literally looks at his old life, which was representative of the plow and all of the work and equipment that was there, and what does he do? He literally takes it, burns it, burns the cattle, and serves it to the community as the first keg ever in the Bible. Medium well. It's good. Why? Because he didn't want the reminder. He didn't want the temptation. Some of us are leaving temptations, a path of temptation in our life to go back to the old way. We constantly have a road of temptation. Temptation stones all the way down. Well, what happens if God doesn't? I say, well, what happens if he does? What happens if it doesn't work out? Well, God wouldn't lie, so it's going to work out. Just may not happen the time you think, right? Timing of God is crazy, eh? But God loves you. You have to understand today, God loves you, and that's why he's got something so custom fit for you. My second youngest child, Grace, we have 17, in case anyone was wondering. It's 5. But in our church, everyone thinks we have 17 kids because there's so many Jeff's kids running around. It's like, who? Is that the pastor's kids too? Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's all right. We used to be Catholic. I'm sorry, just joking. All right, moving right along. Okay, kidding. Bad. Forgive me, Lord. Okay. All right. But my little one, Gracie, she's got these huge puzzle pieces. She loves puzzles. She's got puzzles upon puzzles upon puzzles. And she's got all of these cool puzzles. And some of the ones that I like actually are the ones with the really big, huge pieces. But one of the things that I love about those puzzles, and I've actually learned a lot in the last little while from watching her, every single puzzle piece has a unique shape. Every puzzle piece has a unique pattern. Every puzzle piece has a unique color. Every puzzle piece only's got one spot on the in the grid to fit. That puzzle piece only has 3 or 4 unique, intimate connections. It's not connected to everybody. It's just connected to 3 or 4. And without that puzzle piece, the picture will never be complete. You have a custom fit mantle this morning. Don't let it go. Don't give up. Don't say it's not for me right now. Grab a hold of it, prepare deeply, and without hesitation, grab a hold of the things that God has for your life. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Luke chapter 9, verse 62, it says, "But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" That's heavy. I love what Tim Keller says. Tim Keller, a great author. He's written some great books. But in one of his books, The Reason for God, it says, "It is such people who, in the hand of God, become the ones who achieve mighty things in the economy of Christ. There is no debate, no delay. They simply step out to do God's will now." Can I say this morning, the call is not a need. The call is not a personality. Although some of you probably should get help with that. I'm just joking. The call is not about ability. The call is not even an invitation. It isn't. It is so much bigger than that this morning. It is a life completely under submission. You say, I don't like that word. That's okay. Most of our culture doesn't like that word. But if you understand the root of that word, it literally means to come under and support someone else's mission. Submission. When we come under the mission of Christ, we're blessed. When we come under the mission of the house of God that you are plugged into and planted into, you'll be blessed. Amen? Submission. What is it? The call is a life under complete submission to the extraordinary life of God, so that the extraordinary life of God can be lived out by an extraordinary believer that loves God in an extraordinary way. That's the call. That's the mantle. That's the heart of God. That's his life for you. Listen, in your home, at work, in place of business, in your neighborhoods, with your friends, with your family, doesn't matter who, doesn't matter where, and doesn't matter when, God just says, are you ready? Are you ready to pick up your mantle? As a church, are you ready to pick up your mantle for this city? God's placed you in the city of Trenton for a divine purpose. The fifth thing is this. The mantle touched is not the mantle possessed. 1 Kings chapter 19, Elisha touched the mantle. But most Bible scholars will believe, would argue and would support the fact that it took 7 to 9 years of Elisha being mentored by Elijah, just hanging out for 7 to 9 years. How many know that the mantle touched is not always the mantle possessed? Look at King David. He was anointed. Years later, he became king. Joseph had a dream. Years later, it took a little while for him to go from his dream to his destiny. Right? A few years. Moses saw the hardship of his people. 40 years later, he came back. Jesus just waited for 30 years before he was introduced into the world for his ministry. 2 Kings chapter 2, 7 to 9 years later, Elisha received the mantle. What's interesting about the mantle is it doesn't come with an obligation. It doesn't come with this pressure, because if you choose not to wear it, that's okay. God will just put it on the shelf for a little while until you're ready. But what you cannot see is that that mantle is now given to somebody else and you've lost your opportunity. As soon as you see it being worn by someone else, how many have ever seen their favorite shirt or dress or pants or something that you've been looking at to buy, and then you see your best friend get it and you're like, I don't think I want to get it anymore. Because I don't want to, you know, look the same. Although I did notice, Travis, you and I have the exact same shoes on. We are cool. We are just so cool. That is awesome. It's like, you know, those who preach the good news of the gospel wear black shoes just like that. That's right. I know. That's right. But look what happens in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9. It says this. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you? I honestly believe God's asking you the same thing this morning. What can I do for you? Individually, as a family, as a church, what can I do for you? Before I'm taken away from you, Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. He didn't just want the mantle, he wanted two. Because one wasn't good enough, right? He wanted two. He was ready. He was prepared. He had prepared himself deeply. He grabbed it without hesitation because he believed that God had a custom fit plan for him and he wasn't going to let it go. I don't know about you, but Elisha didn't receive it because he had Justin Trudeau hair, because he didn't have any hair. He was bald. That was one step against him. I know what that's like because I'm heading that way, and Lord Jesus, make me like Elisha. He didn't get it because of who he was related to. He didn't get it because of where he came from, because Abel Mahola wasn't, you know, a great place to come from. He didn't get it because of gifting or ministry, because there's no reference to anything he'd ever done before that. Why in the world did God find him on the backside of the field plowing? Why? Because God saw something no one else could see. God sees something in you that no one else sees. Believe that this morning. He also didn't get it because of the job he was doing. He didn't get it because of what he had. He got it because it was God's choice to give it. A free gift. You ever read John 3:16? And, I mean, for those that like NFL football, I'm sure you'll see a lot of those signs in about an hour and a half or so. Go Steelers, let's go Jesus. Oh, we're going to prove miracles today without our top receiver, our top running back. It doesn't matter because God is on the side of the Steel crew. That's all good. Anyhow, I digress. Coming back to the story. God has something for you. Something special, something unique. No one else can take it. God's given it. John 3:16 is an incredible verse. It says, for God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? Is that what it says? For God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, right? No, it says, for God so loved. Have you ever wondered why God put certain words in the Bible? It doesn't say for God loved. It says for God so loved the world. How many have ever seen a parent with the bad case of the so loves? You know what I'm talking about. Those are the women standing up at the end of the recital. That's my baby. That's my baby. You know what I'm talking about. It's the dad running down the soccer pitch on the side, taking his shirt off and wiping it around because his five-year-old son just scored his first goal in his life. Do you know what I'm saying? It's the bad case of the so loves. That is what God has for you. That's why he's pursuing you. That's why he chases you. That's why you can't get away from him. That's why every morning when you wake up, it's like my little three-year-old daughter that's this far from my face. Morning, Dad! That's what God is doing every single morning you wake up. What are we doing today? How can we advance the kingdom today? Who are you going to prophesy over today? Who are you going to tell them about the love of Jesus? Who are you going to listen to for 2 hours on them? Because that's all they need right now. God so loves. Listen, with the mantle comes the so loves. When the mantle comes upon you, you start breaking for people in a way that you could never imagine before because God's putting the very heart of God in that call, in that anointing, in that gift. 2 Kings chapter 2, I'm going to carry on with verse 10. So he said, well, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Now think about this for a second. You have followed this guy for 7 to 9 years. The response to his question is, if you're with me when I go, then you can get it. If you're not with me when I go, you can't get it. So let's just think about this for a second. He's following him everywhere. Elijah's probably saying, okay, yeah, I got to have a little potty break right now, Elisha. Stay away. And he's probably thinking to himself, no, I got to come in. Because what happens if you go to the throne of God from the throne of earth? I want to be at the throne when you go, so I'm not going to miss anything, so I'm going to be wherever you are. It's a little awkward. I'm sure Elijah probably woke up in the middle of the night and he's sitting snuggled up right to him like, what are you doing? It's like, why? Because he didn't want to miss it. How bad are we pursuing the things of God? How purposeful and intentional are we pursuing the things of God? Because I'm telling you right now, he wasn't going to miss it. You guys aren't going to miss it. But don't get settled back into this thing of, oh, well, you know, Lord, just another 5 years before you do something here. We got to the point in Kingston, we're like, Lord, I've heard every bad thing about this city for the last 8 years. And I'm sick and tired of hearing that, God, you don't move here. And that churches die here. And that church plants die here. I've heard it all. I've heard it for years. Actually, I was warned by a pastor friend of mine not to come to Kingston. He said, it's the graveyard for pastors. I went, thank you for your encouragement. That's great. I tell you, I just unfriended you off Facebook. That's right. But it says in verse 11, then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and Elisha took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He basically said, I'm thinking to myself, okay, this guy just went naked. whatever you got to do, I guess. I don't know. He literally takes his clothes and tears them and says, that's my life. That's dying today. I'm picking up the mantle. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen for him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Listen, what in the world are you willing to do for that mantle? What are you going to do? Amen. I want to come to a conclusion here and come to a landing. But I want to encourage you with something this morning. I want you to fast forward hundreds of years later to a man named Jesus, who was born in a manger in swaddling clothes. He was born into a mantle. Thirty-one years later, a woman touched the hem of his mantle. Power came out of it. She was healed. When Jesus was on the cross and he said, it is finished, it says that the Roman centurions, the Roman soldiers, literally fought over his mantle. Cast lots for it. But the coolest thing of all is when Jesus was in the tomb, he'd gone to hell. He got the keys. He broke the chains. He dealt with the enemy once and for all. They said, you're not having my kids no more. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come out of that tomb, and I'm going to go back up to my Father in heaven, and I'm going to leave a mantle in the tomb. He left his mantle in the tomb. The problem is, too many of us are sitting in our tombs. The tombs of despair and the tombs of discouragement and the tombs of disillusionment and the tombs of frustration and the tomb of fear and the tomb of all of this other stuff, the tomb of lack. But God is saying today, listen, I already paid the price. I came as a baby in a mantle. Ministry from my life came as a mantle. I gave up my mantle on the cross and I've left it for you in the tomb. Pick it up. Don't leave it this morning. Pick it up. Let's just stand together if we can. Let's stand together. Luke chapter 4, verses 18, it says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Can I rephrase that this morning? The mantle of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty or freedom to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Listen this morning. You have a mantle. It isn't for anybody else. It's just for you. It's just for you. Father, we thank you this morning for your word over us, for your word over this city, for your word over this church, and for your word over each and every family and individual that is in this place. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that the mantle of God would rest upon the people of God again. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that that very mantle that you left in the tomb, we would not leave there anymore. But Lord, we would put it on. We would cloak ourselves with your authority, with your anointing, with your power, with your purpose, and with your intentions, oh God, which is to bring the lost to Christ and to build the found. Father, that's what it's all about. Father, we thank you for that this morning. We thank you for that this morning. If you are in this place this morning and you just feel like this message is for you, or you feel like, man, I've given up on the idea of what God has ever done in my life. I've given it up. I've got journal book after journal book of dreams that I've laid down. If that is you in this place, I want you to, with faith, step out where you're standing right now. Come to the front here. Come to this altar area. We want to be able to pray for you and to lay hands on you and pray and believe God that the days of discouragement are over and the day of destiny has just begun. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that this morning? Come on. Amen. Come on forward, guys. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. God is touching hearts this morning. God is touching lives this morning. God is touching your heart. Come on. Come on. Come on. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You are welcome here.
Come flood this place
and fill the atmosphere. atmosphere.
Flood the atmosphere, Lord.
Your glory,
God, is what our hearts long for.
To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. By your presence, Lord. Oh, by your presence, Lord. Oh, your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare to our living hope. Your presence, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Oh, your presence, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. This place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place. Oh, fill the atmosphere, Lord, your glory. God, it's what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, your presence, Lord. Oh, your presence, your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence, Lord. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, oh Lord. Oh, we long for you. Oh, we need you, Lord. Oh, we cry out to you, Lord. Oh, we need you, Lord. Yes, oh Lord. For all Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. to be overcome by your presence, Lord Holy Spirit. You are welcome here. Come fill out this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
To be overcome by your presence, Lord. By your presence, Lord.
Bianca and Dave, can you guys come up for a sec? Awesome. I'm going to put you on the spot if that's all right. Is that okay? Is this your first kid? That's awesome. How many excited for their first little one? Yeah. Grandma. Yes. Grandma, I get to buy everything. That's awesome. Everything is awesome. Sorry, I have kids. All right. Okay, get it out. Do you have a name picked out? Good. The name's significant. Yeah. I just feel like over the two of you guys, I just feel like this baby, the birth of this baby, is going to literally represent a shift for this entire house. I believe that there's something significant on this little one's life that is going to be literally prophetically declaring over this house and over this city what God wants to do next. How many of you ever get frustrated in the times of transition? You know, like November when it was still 15 degrees one day and we're like, should we have shorts, pants, shirt, sweater, coat? What are we wearing? We don't know what to wear. The most frustrating time in anyone's life is a season of transition. In other words, the season in between seasons. Some of us call it construction. But God is constructing something. And I just feel like this is going to shift everything. It's not necessarily just because of the birth, but it's because God is declaring something is being birthed. Do you believe that this morning? Father, I just think, actually, honey, Michelle, can you jump on the keys there? We have prayed this before, and I'm going to pray it for you guys. We've prayed for supernatural childbirth for people, and we've seen it happen. We're going to pray it for you. The last four births out of Sandra's five has been pain-free, and so we're going to pray for you guys. Let's just extend our hands if we can. Towards Bianca, it's Dave, right? I'm just going to have Sandra literally put her hand on your belly, if that's all right. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, for the destiny that is on this family. Lord, the destiny that is on this little one's life. And Father, we thank you in this day, Lord, that with every destiny comes responsibility. So Father, I pray, Lord, over Bianca and over Dave, Lord, that you would help them parent this little life. Lord, not just to make them loved, because we're all supposed to love all the children. Lord, help them to parent their children to be liked. For Father, that is the significance, Lord, that separates us. It causes us to make decisions and to be disciplined and to run our household in such a way, Lord, where our children would be honored and they would be a blessing wherever they go. But Father, we just speak right now, Lord, destiny over this family. We speak destiny over this church. And Father, I do believe in my spirit, Lord, that this baby, even the name of this child, Lord, is significant. So Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would do a great work. And Father, we believe together. Sandra and I pray, Lord, right now, supernatural, pain-free childbirth in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, God, that you would take away all of those fears or anxieties related, Lord, to the pregnancy and to the delivery. Father, we thank you, Lord. It's going to be an awesome testimony of what you're doing. We give you praise and we pray it in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. I just keep seeing, I don't know if this is going to make sense to either of you guys or if I just had too many hot dogs yesterday, which could be. But I just see laughter in your home. I see laughter. Yeah, yeah. No! That's our daughter's name. Abigail. Whoa! That's awesome. And Grace. And obviously you guys know joy of the Lord, joy of the Father, right? That is awesome. You guys are stepping into a new season of joy. That's all I got to say then. You know, can I just say this? The times of frustration are over. For you and your church. The times of, for you personally, I just see people in their financial accounts, your bank accounts, like just stressed to the max over your finances. The time of fretting and being frustrated over your bank account is over. For this is a year of joy. This is a year of laughter. This is a year of hope. This is a year of destiny for your church. I'm telling you right now, I cannot wait to come back in April. April 3rd, not 13 more years. No. April 3rd, we're going to be back. And Sandra and I and our team from Kingston are actually going to be leading worship that this morning. So we're excited about that. We're excited to be with you guys for your special service, very special service. But I tell you, believe God this morning that there's a change in your destiny this morning. Do you believe that this morning? Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Who else has not been prayed over yet? We want to be able to pray right here, okay? Anybody else? We're good. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Honey, are you okay to pray right here? Travis, do I have like 3 minutes? It's awesome. Yeah, yeah, I'll be there in a sec. Yeah. Well, I'm just going to do this once. And sorry, sir, your name. Brian? I like that name. It's not going to take me long. It's going to be very simple. And you can hit me later if you don't like it, all right? I give you permission. I just keep hearing over and over and over and over again that your mama prayed you in, your mama believes in you, and that there's something so much more significant on your life than you've seen. And I just see seasons of frustration. I see seasons of almost like wilderness, just dry, arid, frustrating, desert, heat. Give me a drink of water, please, Lord, now. And God is just saying, listen, if you make some good choices, I see like two or three big choices. You got to make good choices. If you make those good choices, God is going to supernaturally turn your life around. And he's going to come back. He's going to bring you back to the very place that your mama prayed for you for when you were a child. I just see your mama's prayers, the seed of your mama's prayers are going to happen soon if you make some good choices. Do you believe that this morning? Awesome. Awesome. I just want to pray a blessing over your church, if that's okay. Travis, Camille, if you guys just can come up. I know Pastor Jacques and Sharon are not here this morning, but I'm sure they wouldn't mind. If we can just extend your hands just to Pastor Jacques this morning. Or Pastor Jacques, Pastor Travis and Pastor Travis. You look the same. That's why I said it's awesome. Father, we just thank you for this house. I thank you for the leadership in this house. I thank you for what you're doing. And I thank you, Lord, for the place that you're calling this house to. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that they are going to walk into a new season of rest and joy. I just speak rest over the two of you. I know because we're friends, I know how much stuff has gone on in the last even 10 years with homes and your kids and decisions and all these different things. But I just see for you guys right now a season of rest. Not coming to work. But a season of rest, resting in God's presence. I see literally a simplification happening in your life, just simplifying things. And God literally bringing that same thing over this house, that there's a rest that's coming. And out of that divine rest will come songs. I just see you guys writing songs. I see songs coming from this house for this city. And I just believe that there's a spirit being raised up in this place right now, a song of joy, a song of rest, a song of the presence of God that will literally be a calling card for those that are weary and discouraged and disillusioned in this city that will come running because they're going to find hope again for the first time in their life. Father, I thank you right now, Lord, for Pastor Travis and for Camilla. And I pray, Lord God, that you would strengthen them. Lord, I thank you for the mantle that is upon their life. I thank you, Lord, it's going to come even in greater measure in April. But Father, I thank you, Lord, you've prepared them to carry it. They have prepared deeply. They have cried out. They have sought you. They have literally in their prayer closet, Lord, believed God for the impossible. And I thank you, Lord, this church is going to be known as a church of the impossible. We believe that this morning. In Jesus' name, Father, we just extend that same blessing over this house. We pray, Lord, your blessing over every family. I pray, Lord, that families that were separated and struggling would come together. I pray for marriages that are struggling would come together. I pray for lost children, Lord, prodigals, to come back home this year in the name of Jesus. Father, for those that are struggling, I thank you, Lord, that this is the year of the prodigals coming home. Father, we give you praise for you this morning, Lord, because you are good. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. We thank you for it, oh God. And we are loved by you. It's who we are. So, Father, we thank you for that place and for what you're doing in this house in the name of Jesus. And everyone said this morning, amen. Bless you guys.
Thank you. God is good.